This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Well, that was a little break, Bob.
Mark's wearing a toque.
Everybody. I am wearing a toque. Which, by the way...
means the golf season's over.
You see, right off, we're already off path this morning because I've got back now. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap. Okay, we're going to come
start again.
We're going to start this again. Okay.
Say good morning, Canada.
Good morning, Canada. We've been off a few weeks. Now, you've been laying low, correct? Doing
yes.
some work around here and just kind of laying low.
Yep.
And I took a holiday, which I do every first week of every year with the same group of guys. And we go on a golf trip, and this year we went to Bandon Dunes.
Very nice.
Which was absolutely, if you love golf, and now I can't, you know, it was my first time. And I think if anybody knows someone who has been to Bandon Dunes, you hear a lot of the same thing. Oh, it's the best, you have to go. Oh, it's the best. You have to go. And I think for people who haven't been to Bandon Dunes, like myself, the reason you don't go to Bandon Dunes, the reason you haven't been to Bandon Dunes, is it is almost impossible to get to.
Right.
So we left Toronto and flew to Calgary and had a five-hour layover to Calgary. By the way, this was not the original plan. Air Canada, like, re-changed the schedule.
And you weren't on the Golf Talk Canada jet, obviously.
Obviously. Well, you were using that for your week off.
Yeah, right.
Bob was, just shooting down to the Florida for some sun, but... we had a five-hour layover in Calgary, and then we took a flight to Portland, and then we took a four-and-a-half-hour bus ride to Portland to the coastline. It was a 20-hour travel day.
You could get drunk and sober up four times on that trip.
And some of the guys
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I bet they did.
So we went, honestly, 20 hours to get there. It was a little shorter coming home because our layover was better, but it is brutally hard to get there.
But. It's...
this is when you get there and you experience the quality of the golf course, quality of the resort, the way it works. It's like, honestly, one of the greatest golf experiences I've ever had in my life. You go, I get it. I understand why. And you know what? And everybody on the trip said on the way down, some of the guys were complaining, even though they knew in advance that it was going to be the Chevy Chase, it was going to be one of those to get there. The Griswolds, thank you.
The Wally World.
Yeah. They said, we got to come back. It's that good, we got to come back. Just everything about it was epic, and it was an absolute wonderful time. However, to get back to the toque story, again, cold weather the first day, lovely weather the last 3 days. Everybody had the toque on. But, I don't know why my brain doesn't work at times, Bob. It's very confusing to me. I was in Vegas 15 years ago, late November.
It gets cold.
Freezing.
Yeah, it gets cold.
I go into the pro shop and I say, where are your toques? The guy looks at me sideways. I go, where are your toques? I need a toque. It's freezing outside. And he just starts laughing.
Yeah.
I had no idea toque was just a Canadian word.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had no clue.
The ski hat, toboggan hat.
That's what he says. He goes, ski hat. Oh, you want a ski hat or a knit hat or something like that? I go, yeah, a toque. He goes, buddy, I don't know what planet you're from, but I have no idea what a toque is.
That's right.
That was it. So that's the toque. To come full circle, I'm in a toque this morning.
There you go.
It's slow in the world of golf, but it's good news because we have some travel, which this is the time of year. Like, are you not, you must have buddies, Bob, or people you know that that have either gone away on a golf trip or are planning one or something
sure.
coming up. This is the time of year, right?
Yeah, everyone's sort of thinking that either a lot of, I know a few guys who are going now because obviously it's a little less expensive if you go before Christmas
yes.
than after.
And before American Thanksgiving
and
as well.
And before American Thanksgiving. And I do know that I have some buddies who go every year the week of American Thanksgiving because it's really good. Price-wise.
Right.
Until
the next day.
It's a big holiday for them, so everyone's away. No one's going away like on golf trips that weekend right. if you're in the U.S. And then I know a lot of people who are sitting there planning, okay, we're going to get our stuff tied up now because we're going away in January, February, whatever.
Right. Well, TJ Rule, Golfway Tours, he's going to join us. So TJ's going to talk a little bit as well about Mayakoba, which I was then. I went after Bannon. I went straight to Mayakoba to do play-by-play for PGA Tour.
Right.
Outstanding resort that is. And he's also going to talk about some alternatives to Scotland, Ireland that are a little less expensive that might give you the same experience or the same type of golf experience. Also, Tom Pashley, the president of Pinehurst Resort, is going to join us. So we're going to do some a lot of travel today. They've got a new par 3 course at Pinehurst.
Gilhance, right?
That is very similar to what the Preserve is to Bannon Dunes. They've kind of recreated that same experience. Pinehurst, absolutely outstanding resort for the same. A lot of the same reasons I love Bannon, I love Pinehurst. You know, the amount of golf, the quality of golf, how easy it is to get around.
They're doing a lot of fixing up around there,
and
too.
We're going to talk a little bit about number 4. Because you remember a few years ago, Coren Crenshaw ripped out all the rough
number two
and brought it back to like a restoration to what it looked like in the 20s.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it too. They're doing the same thing now to number 4.
Perfect.
I think you said Hans is doing it to 4.
Gil Hans, I think
he's doing it to 4. So we'll talk to Tom and get an update on Pinehurst as well. We'll do Winners Weird and What. We got some housekeeping later on. We're going to be live on location in a couple weeks, so we'll get to that. Let's do some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
And I should also mention, Robert, that we got some audio coming up from Mac Hughes as well.
Yes, Mac Hughes, who was defending his championship.
Yes, talking about
go all that well.
The upcoming season and a few things along those nature. And the defending champion you're referring to, the RSM Classic.
Yes.
Which is the final event of the PGA Tour wraparound portion of the schedule.
There's the calendar year end has come for that. And then the season end this week as well for the European Tour and for the LPGA Tour.
And
a lot of wrapping up to do.
We will wrap up leaderboards later on in the show and let you know what the LPGA is doing, where they're sitting currently as they wrap up their season, as well as the European Tour. As Bob suggested, PGA Tour wrapping up their calendar year. Last week, starting in news and headlines, Kevin Sutherland walks away with the Charles Schwab Cup on Champions Tour. So they wrap that up. I don't know if I have no problem with this, but there was some buzz around the fact that, you know, Bernhard Langer basically dominates the year again, along with Scott McCarron, but Langer really the number one player on the Champions Tour, hands down. And yet, he doesn't walk away to the Charles Schwab Cup because it's a playoff system similar to the FedEx Cup. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right, Bob?
Sure. It's like some underdog team coming through and winning in the playoffs at the World Series or any event that you go to. And you can't equate who had the best year with who won the Charles Schwab Cup. Kevin Sutherland wins the Charles Schwab Cup because he played the best in the playoffs. That's his first Champions Tour win, even though he shot 59 once before. The only Champions Tour player to do that. So he wins. That's great. He gets the money. But Bernie Langer, I don't think, is too upset. He says it's not fair, but he didn't mean it in a bad way. He just meant that this is the way we
golf's
do
not fair.
Exactly.
Right. You're looking for a fair sport. You're playing the wrong one.
That's right.
But I'm with you. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there has to be, and again, you know, how much people were actually upset about this. Probably not much. This is the Champions Tour. If this was a FedEx Cup conversation, it would be probably a lot more passionate. There'd be a lot more people chiming in. But all that being said, there is a significant difference between who won the Charles Schwab Cup and who's the Player of the Year on the Champions Tour. The Player of the Year of the Champions Tour was decided well before the Charles Schwab Cup.
It was like May.
Yeah, I think it was done in May. It's a little bit of a scare for Luke Donald.
So Luke Donald was going to play in the RSM Classic. And before his Thursday tea time, though, he ends up in the hospital. Apparently, the night before, he'd been having some chest pains, not feeling all that well. In the morning, same thing, a few more chest pains. So he thought, you know, I better not fool around with this. Smart guy. And goes to the hospital, has 7 hours of tests. Nothing shows up, so there's no big issue, but a bit of a scare for him. And he's gone back now, back home, and he's going to get some more testing done to see exactly what was going on. But anytime you think you get a little of that stuff, you wonder, right? I mean,
and the not knowing, and you're dealing with a heart condition, and that part of the body. It's not like your knee is sore.
No, and it's not like you really have to play one more tournament. I mean,
right,
I know Luke Donald has kind of fallen from his lofty heights where he was the world number one at one point. But I think this takes a little more precedence over that.
Very much so. And I guess, you know, not that it wasn't anticipated or expected, but I think there were still some hopes that there might be a last-minute swoop-in of some nature, but LPGA Tour schedule release for next year, and bad news for Canadian golf.
Yeah, so the Manulife LPGA Classic is no longer on there, and we've lost two events this year because we've lost that one, and the Champions Tour event that was out at Bear Mountain is also
off the
schedule.
But
the LPGA Tour kind of firms up their schedule. The good news is they get a six-year extension from CME, the CME Group, which is their FedEx sponsor. They're sort of over long year calculation of who's going to win the player, right, just like we were talking with Charles Schwab. So that's what they're playing right now. That's going to be extended for another 6 years. There's $1 million bonus in that event as well, so that's good. But there's three events off the schedule and three new events on the schedule. They're going to play for a little bit more money in terms of overall purse. And the good news is that down the line, they're going to move the Evian Championship back into a position in the summer, so they don't have to fly back and forth to Europe all the time. So a lot of things sort of working themselves through for the LPGA Tour. The other thing that's unusual is that the tournament that Brooke won, the New Zealand Open, is actually off the schedule next year. But that's only so it can go into a new date in 2019 early in the year. They didn't want to have it twice within about a four-month period.
Right.
So they're going to miss it 1 year and put it back on.
Makes sense. And the strength of that tour, that was a very very solid field, very popular
solid
stop.
Solid field, terrible weather.
Well, did you just see? Oh.
Yeah.
But better for Brooke, right?
Yeah.
Became a ball-striking contest. Putting didn't matter.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Before we get to our break, we're going to hear some audio from Mac Hughes coming up. Curious, Bob, this broke. We actually even talked about this off the air this morning. This just popped into my head, which is always scary.
Yeah.
But this popped in. This came out when I was gone, and you and I, you were here, I was away, so we didn't have a chance to chat about this. But did you see some of the news again about opinions about the golf ball and opinions from Tiger Woods now kind of backing up Jack Nicklaus's statements for years now, Nicklaus wanting to dial back the golf ball, Woods suggesting that the golf ball should be dialed back. But then the more curious statements that came out, and I, you know, these are not substantiated or these are not, you know, there's no hard facts about this, but some rumors or some suggestions that the 2020 Masters would be considered as a place that would be the first time on the PGA Tour that they would play a dialed back golf ball. And I was just curious your opinion on this, because I felt the golf ball got out of hand a long time ago. I felt technology got out of hand a long time ago. I've been in big favor of a bifurcation of the year over the years. Why does Joe Blow, who play, you know, five times a year, or the Weekend Warrior, who needs the help, why does he need to be under the same guidelines of equipment as, you know, Rory McIlroy? I'm not saying he plays to a bigger golf hole, like we're just, right, but I've been just giving him some help where the pros are this. Just like in college baseball, they can use an aluminum bat. When they get to the pros, they can use a wooden bat, right? So it's not like it's not there in other sports. But the thought of one tournament on the schedule, especially the biggest one of the year, using a dialed back ball, that makes me a little sick to my stomach.
Well, it's the only tournament that could do it and get away with it and get guys to buy into it, right? So the theory,
they have more power than everyone else.
The theory is that the people at Augusta National would go to all the ball manufacturers and say, here are the standards we're playing with. Build a ball, whatever you want, built to these specifics and this measurement numbers. And we're going to play with that. And if you don't want to use your, if Titleist, you don't want to build one, then we'll have a ball here for your guys.
Right.
And that's the thinking of it. And obviously, you know, there's got to be something done, you'd hope. But, you know, we're worried about some guy anchoring a long putter when the ball is going flying 330 and 340 in the air, right? I mean, let's give our heads a shake here and realize what's more important.
That's what I was saying. I was screaming when that was going on. We're fighting about anchored putters, and in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, drivers have become the size of toasters, and the golf balls flying for, and then no one said boo.
Yeah,
and then here we are, and instead we fought for years in the late '90s about square grooves, mid '90s, but like what that did nothing, like ridiculous. Anyway, okay, I've gone off on a tangent, running a little late here. On the other side, we're going to hear from Mac Hughes. We'll keep our eye on that golf ball story. I expect more chatter.
I've
got
something for you in Winners, Weird, and What on that too.
Ah, ooh, you know what we like to call that? A teaser. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. PGA Tour wrapping up the calendar season, the last event of the wraparound portion of the schedule of the end of 2017, the 2017-18 season, the RSM Classic. Sea Island, Georgia, what a beautiful part of the world that is. Mackenzie Hughes, Mac Hughes, was the defending champion in this event. And although there is some great news for Canadians here in this event, Ben Silverman in a T6 position right now, 8 under par after matching 67s heading into the weekend. David Hearn playing well at 5 under par. So there's some good Canadian stories here. Unfortunately for Nick Taylor as well as Mac Hughes, not going to make the weekend. So Mac not going to have an opportunity to defend his title.
And not a huge surprise. I know he was talking about being a new father. He's got a lot going on in his life, a few changes. So I think that's there's a lot going on too when you're a defending champ. You know, you do a lot more stuff that you're not used to, especially a guy like Mac who's a rookie. You're not used to going into the media room, sitting down for some interviews like he did for us, like we're just going to hear. And so it's a different week for sure, but he'll be back.
He'll be back, and looking forward to what could be a very big 2018 for Mac Hughes. Let's hear from Canadian PGA Tour star Mac Hughes.
What did you learn during your rookie year that you'll be able to carry into your sophomore year on the tour?
You know, I kind of touched on this earlier in the media center, but it's, you know, learning that, you know, you don't have to be perfect out here, that there's, you know, a lot of great players, but that there isn't really a huge difference between the top guys and guys like myself. So, you know, just trusting in my game and knowing that what I'm doing currently is good enough, and I'm just trying to get a little bit better, you know, every day, each year. And if I can do that, then hopefully I'll be at Eastlake come end of the year.
Well, and that answers this question, but how have your goals changed from last year to this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of didn't have a ton of goals set out heading into the fall of portion of last year. But then once I won, you know, setting my goals for 2017, I had said, okay, I want to contend more. I want to get to Eastlake. And my goals for this season really haven't changed. You know, I didn't get to Eastlake. I want to get there again, or I want to get there, you know, this year. And I want to have more chances to win. I mean, and those really are my goals for this season trying to get better.
Okay. On tour, is there a player that you see as a role model for how you approach the game?
I think Jordan's a pretty good example. You know, I think that we have a pretty comparable skill set. You know, we're not the longest guys on tour, but we're, you know, average to maybe a little bit above average. And, you know, he does a lot of great work around the greens, and his putting is really, really good. And I think I'm a good putter as well. So I think there's some similarities there, and he's certainly a guy that I think, you know, approaches it in a really professional way, and, you know, that's something that I guess certainly try and emulate.
Well, congratulations on fatherhood. Talk a little bit about how your life has been different since the birth of your son.
Yeah, I think it's been different mainly in the fact that I'm not sleeping near as much, but it's been awesome. My wife's doing really well, and the baby's doing really well, so that's all I really asked for. And then, just spending time with him has been awesome. And watching him, you know, sleep and all this stuff is just, you know, stuff that I never thought would be fun, but it's amazing. I mean, it just, like, watching someone sleep is, like, the most joy I've had in a long time. So it's really cool to have, you know, a kid of my own now. And, looking forward to having some time off in the winter to spend time with him.
All right, just a couple more. The number of Canadians on the tour is clearly on the rise. Do you have a sense of how the Canadian players are viewed on the tour from the fans and the players' perspective?
You know, I think the perception is that we're generally pretty nice guys. I mean, I don't really know how we're perceived, because, you know, no one's going to tell us behind our backs what they're saying. But I think that for the most part, these Canadian guys are really nice. And it's exciting to have, you know, more numbers out here for us Canadians. And I think that it's just good to see guys out here that, you know, carrying the flag with you and not being the only guy, you know, out here is, you know, a nice feeling to have, you know, kind of that support.
Is there anyone of your fellow countrymen that you're closest to? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, Nick Taylor and, you know, Corey Connors is a new Canadian out here. I mean, I went to school with Corey at Kent State. So we had some, you know, years together there. And so I've known him for a long time, playing junior golf together when we were 12 years old. So we've known each other for a long time. And then Nick, I played amateur golf with and grew up with a little bit too. So, yeah, spend time with those guys and a few others. I mean, but those are kind of my two closest buddies.
All right, last question. On a lighter note, who would you play with in your dream foursome? Living or not living?
Yeah, I think my dream foursome would be, you know, just from a pure golf perspective, you know, Tiger Woods in his prime, Jack Nicklaus in his prime, and then Ben Hogan in his prime. I think that would be really cool to kind of see the greats of, you know, those kind of generations all together, you know, and then myself just kind of watching and seeing what's going on. But yeah, that'd be really cool.
Would you give those three a run for their money?
I think on a good day, like, you know, if I shot 61 like I did last year at the first round, I mean, that might be good enough to give him a run.
Mac Hughes, some thoughts on the upcoming season, stuff he can take from his rookie campaign into this season. Two things I get from that interview, Bob. One, I'll tell you, as you will, being out there on tour with these guys, the Canadians are so well-liked by media as well. They're so approachable, good guys. And the other thing from that interview I take is I'm shocked that you and I aren't in his dream foursome.
That's right.
Like, why would you not want to play with Bob Weeks and Mark Zucchino?
I think a little bit like Brooke Henderson, we kind of forget Mac Hughes had such a great start to his PGA Tour career that he's just going into his second year on tour. So you kind of forget how good he can be. But the potential, I think, is the thing to think about for Mac Hughes, because I love his confidence. He's a very confident guy, as he showed in the playoff win.
As you can hear in his final answer in that interview.
Yeah, but he's still learning. He's still learning.
Yeah, very much so. And he won early, and that changes your the way you think about things, right? And all right, on the other side, we're going to switch gears a little. We're going to do some travel talk here. It is that time of year. I've been already to some very nice spots, some of it work-related. But get out there, play golf, extend your season, and good time of year to get away, like Bob suggested, too, before American Thanksgiving or even during the American Thanksgiving weekend. And if you're thinking of something bigger, you certainly got a plan for it. And TJ Rule from Golfway Tours is going to join us, and he's got some options and alternatives for you. And then as well, Tom Pashley, who is the president of Pinehurst Resort, is going to join us about all the changes and upcoming new things at one of America's greatest golf resorts. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino Weeks, November GTC.
Wow.
In studio.
It's like a month to Christmas, right?
You know?
5 weeks?
And so, well, speaking of that, if we're a month away from Christmas, there's only two things that could mean, and we're live. It means Festivus is coming.
Festivus.
Okay, December 16th, the Festivus episode. And it means we should be talking travel. Because if you haven't planned a trip, or are currently planning a trip, or going away, then there's a problem. You should be going away and extending your golf season. If we're going to talk travel on Golf Talk Canada, we talk it with TJ Rule from Golfway Tours, who is calling in this morning, I believe, from Pinehurst, North Carolina. How is the weather in the towering pines of North Carolina this morning, Teej?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bob. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What's going on down there?
Let me tell you, we don't need any cukes or beanies down here, put it that way.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
It's beautiful down here. It's sunny and, you know, 15, 16, 17 degrees. Great golf weather.
Perfect. Now, we're going to talk to Tom Pashley, who's the president. In our upcoming segment, so I don't want to talk too much Pinehurst because obviously Tom's going to be on, but you had a chance to play the new par 3 course. Can you just give us a quick sneak peek of what that looks like?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, before we go any further, I just want to let you know that Mark, you, Bob, and Scully are definitely in my dream foursome.
Oh,
I get
yeah,
that out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't know what Matt Hughes is thinking, but anyway, that would be the dream foursome. Might as well be playing it down here at Pinehurst, right? But
sounds like
yeah,
a play.
We get a chance to play what they call the Cradle, which is a new little nine-hole, I don't want to say pitch-a-putt, but short par three course designed by Gil Hanse last year. They've done a lot, as you guys touched on before, and I know Tom will touch on in the next segment. They've done a ton at this resort recently, which has really brought it up to an awesome level and some really cool things. But this little short course, the holes range from like 55 to 125 yards. You go out there, they give you a little Sunday Jones bag. You throw two or three wedges in there and a putter. Go out there, grab a beer with your buddies, and go play 9 holes or 18 holes on this short course. And it's just a lot of fun, similar to, I guess, what you would have seen out at Bandon at the Preserve. So it's a great way to kind of top off your day, you know, play a course in the morning and then go out in the afternoon and just putt around that 9 holes. And it's right beside the clubhouse, a great location. It's a great addition to the resort.
Might be like a good spot where you could go after a couple of cocktails and put a few bets on the line. And
absolutely, that's what it's all about, right? Makes it a little bit more interesting, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So TJ, if I'm gonna go away right now, let's say before Christmas, you know, give me a couple of hot spots that pop up for you.
Well, you know, we always talk, and we've talked in the past, a great relationship with St. Kitts, and that's a great place for people to go, and we've talked a lot about that destination, and the weather is fantastic, you know, it's definitely a good spot to go. You can't go wrong there. Another spot is one that Mark knows well because he just got back from there, and that's Mayakoba down in Mexico, south of Cancun. Awesome resort. There's actually 4 resorts on the property. I believe you stayed at the Fairmont, did you not, Mark?
Yeah, I got to say, the Mayakoba collection of properties in that community, I was at the Fairmont, but, I mean, I have never seen a collection of 5-star resorts, like, in one Caribbean, you know, / Mexican community like that before. Like, outstanding accommodations. The golf course is fantastic. El Camaleon, which is the Greg Norman design where they play the OHL Classic in Mayakoba. But just the way it works, TJ, I described it as Mexico's little Venice. It's all connected by canals. You get to everything by water taxi if
you
choose.
Swimming at all?
No swimming for this guy, yeah. Food is fantastic. I think, it's a great place to go if there's couples involved as well, Mayakoba. Do you not agree?
Yeah. Absolutely, and you see that the 4 resorts there are awesome. They just built the 4th one, which is called Andaz. But I mean, it's when you say 4 or 5-star resorts, they're almost 6-star resorts. You know, a couple of them. So I mean, it's awesome there. And as you said, you know, all the little canals that go through the golf course, and you can take little boat trips, and you can bike around the property, and it's all inclusive as well, which is, you know, Canadians love. Which is, you know, you go down there, you don't have to get a pocket. Everything's included. The golf, you can do unlimited golf packages at El Camaleon, which, as you said, is a fantastic golf course. And, you know, it's different from a lot of resorts in that it's set back from the beach, but you walk down to the beach and it's very private down there with, like, a, you know, a little beach bar and pool right down at the sea. It's a pretty cool spot, and there's other great golf in the area. You don't only have to play at El Camaleon. I mean, within 45 minutes, you've got 5 or 6 really good golf courses that you can include on an itinerary.
Yeah, I was shocked at the amount of growth of golf in that area. There's about 15 golf courses that have popped up in the last, you know, decade or so, and
quite good ones, I have to say. And the weather's always great down there. You never have to worry about that. So as far as going away, if people want to go away before Christmas and the rates before Christmas, you know, the rates after Christmas get a little bit higher. The rates before Christmas are generally pretty good. I know you guys touched a little bit on, you know, people going during American Thanksgiving or the week before, because Americans generally, you know, it's a family weekend, so they're doing that. So the resorts don't get as much travel from them. So it's a great time for Canadians to go, for sure.
We're with TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. That's golfawaytours.com. If you're thinking about maybe jumping out, doing a little travel right now, we've certainly got some options and ideas for you. TJ, I want to switch gears a little bit here because I want to get to this before we get Tom on. And a lot of people are planning Scotland and Ireland right now. You and I talk a lot about that. Everybody knows that if they want to get to Scotland or Ireland, especially Scotland, certain courses you need to get to in advance. You got to pre-plan. Royal County Down, obviously the old course of St. Andrews, etc. Some of the private golf courses that only allot a certain amount of tee times. There's a lot of planning involved. But you brought up to me an alternative. If you're looking for something that maybe isn't quite as expensive, or something a little different, or something that doesn't take, you know, a year and a half to plan, you brought up Wales to me. And I got to be honest with you. Other than Royal, is it Porthcawl?
Yeah,
other than that, I'm very unfamiliar with Wales golf.
And a lot of people are. So touching on Ireland and Scotland, I mean, you know, this is the time of year where all the tee sheets are open for the courses for next year. So believe it or not, there are some courses that are almost full or full already for next year, which people don't believe or don't understand when they start planning a trip for Ireland and Scotland. You know, a lot of the top courses book up pretty early. So if people are looking at an alternative, Wales is a great spot. It's got, you know, it's a beautiful country to begin with. And you can go right from the north with the Snowdonia Mountains up there, and there's some great Lynx golf courses right on the north coast. And then coming down the west coast, there's places like Royal St. David's and Aberdovey, and places that maybe people haven't heard of, but they really are world-class Lynx golf courses. And you can get a real good Lynx golf experience, which is what people generally are looking for, for, you know, a fraction of the price of going to Scotland and playing the top courses there.
So what you're saying is we should be Wales watching.
Well, that's
sorry. If you do want to plan a big trip like a Wales, sorry, you want to finish up on Wales?
No, go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, if you wanted to do a trip like Wales, it's not out of the realm of possibility that you could extend it and go or add it on to a Scotland or an Ireland trip if you wanted to make a 2 or 3 week deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the UK isn't a huge place. You can get around pretty easily, and Canadians love to drive quite a bit anyway, so it's not a big issue. And in fact, when you go to Wales, you don't fly into Wales. You fly into either Heathrow or Manchester,
right,
and then work from there. So a really popular one is doing Wales and then combining the northwest part of England, where you have Royal Liverpool, Lytham and St. Anne, Royal Birkdale, obviously amazing golf up there. So you can combine the two and have an incredible trip. But, following up on Wales itself, you know, you get down to the south, and Mark brought up Royal Porthcawl. It would be the top-ranked course in Wales, and it hosted the U.S. Senior Open, British Senior Open, in 2014. Of course, it was won by Bernard Langer. And they also had the Ryder Cup in Wales a few years ago, and that was at Celtic Manor. Which isn't a Lynx course, but still a beautiful facility. So there's so much to do there. But going back to your point, Bob, you certainly can combine it, especially with golf in England, because you have to fly in and out of England to get there.
He is TJ Rule. He is Golf Away Tours. It's golfawaytours.com. Again, golfawaytours.com. If you're thinking of Europe, if you're thinking of Ireland, Scotland, get on it now. You're probably already late, so don't hesitate. Reach out to TJ at golfawaytours.com. Wales is an alternative or an addition. Lots of southern destinations if you're thinking of extending your golf season. I just got back from Mayakoba. Absolutely outstanding, but lots of choices. TJ, play well this week. Have a great time. Thanks for joining us. We're going to switch gears and do a little Pinehurst coming up next, but let's grab lunch when you're back.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
TJ Rule on the other side. Tom Pashley, he is the president of Pinehurst. We will get an update on the opening of Pinehurst number 4 and other things new to Pinehurst. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Zucchino, Weeks in studio as we continue a little bit of a travel theme this morning here on Golf Talk Canada, which is the time of year, if you're listening coast to coast, thinking about a place to get away. If you've never been to Pinehurst and you love the game of golf, shame on you is what I have to say. Because in terms of golf history and being in the fabric of the game, On this side of the pond, it is very difficult, if not almost impossible, to find places like Pinehurst, where the game was almost born on this side of the world. And that is very much part of the experience when you go to Pinehurst. And joining us now, the president of Pinehurst Resort, Tom Pashley, joining us this morning. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with Bob and I. I was there this time last year with TJ. Unfortunately, I've had so much going on travel-wise, I was unable to attend this year, which is a shame. But I love Pinehurst, and I love Pinehurst for how I introduced it. I love it because everywhere you go in the town, in the resort, in the golf, it's in the blood, it's in the fabric, it's in the genetics of the town and the resort. So I'll start with you. Why do you love Pinehurst?
Well, you've absolutely nailed it, and thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity to speak to you and your listeners. It is, you know, one of the phrases we use is the St. Andrews of American golf, and I believe it was Bobby Jones who first used that phrase when he was describing Pinehurst, where kind of the town and golf become one and the same. So the history of it, the fact that Ross came here and designed what is widely regarded as his masterpiece in Pinehurst number 2, So there's no question it's about the history and the fact that most of the best players to have ever played the game have played at Pinehurst. So when you walk those fairways, it kind of just, it feels different. You feel that, that significance. But what we're most proud of is the fact that while it is steeped in history and tradition, you know, Pinehurst number 2 and all of our other golf courses are as relevant to today's best players as they were to the players in the early 1900s. So the fact that we've had the opportunity to now host 3 U.S. Open championships, 1999, won by Payne Stewart, Michael Campbell in 05, and then Martin Keimer in 2014. So there's this great look backwards at the great history of the game, but there's also this modern relevance that makes Pinehurst, you know, very special. So I think you captured it very well. It's about variety with 9 golf courses at one destination. That's really, you know, going to offer golfers so many different types of choices in terms of what type of golf they'd like to play. And it's also about our people, I think, Bob and Mark, the way you feel, the way you're treated while you're at a place of significance, but there's no pretense. I mean, it's just like coming home, and we want you to feel special when you're here. And so people leave here feeling really good about the time they spent here, and they feel good about themselves, and they feel good about the way they were treated. So I'll stop talking, and there's so much else that's going on to talk about. But
I was just going to say, I could sense a little passion in your voice for the place, understandably. And now, number 2, obviously, is the one that gets a lot of attention, and the great the work that Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw did ahead of the U.S. Open in 2014 was well-received. And now, I gather, number 4 is going to get kind of a similar facelift from Gil Hanse, correct?
Absolutely. Gil Hanse is going to move to Pinehurst in January and begin that project. We've already started some work on course number 4. It was one of Donald Ross's originals. And it had been touched by a lot of architects over the years, and Tom Fazio kind of unified it under his umbrella in 1999. But it was a different look and feel of a golf course. When Bill and Ben restored number 2, that set a new bar, and we decided that we wanted to go back to a more natural look, something that will complement the look of a Pinehurst number 2. The land on number 4 has great elevation changes, so it has the potential to even be a little more dramatic visually than what we have on number 2. But yeah, that project begins in earnest in January when Gil moves to town, and it will reopen in October of next year.
So this time next year, you'll be able to play the new number 4. And Tom, you know, you're right. When I was there a year ago, I absolutely loved number 4 as a golf course, which was, you know, Tom Fazio's fingerprints, all over it. And I could just imagine what that property is going to look like with exposing some of that sandy soil and natural look. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. We're with Tom Pashley, who's the president of Pinehurst Resort. Tom, I have to touch on this because obviously we can get very romantic when we talk about Pinehurst, right? As places like we talk about St. Andrews and Pebble Beach. But from just a guy who has been on a lot of guys' golf trips, Pinehurst just works too. From a functionality standpoint and a logistics standpoint, shuttle takes you everywhere. Restaurants are within walking distance if you choose to walk. Multiple different types of accommodations, whether you want to stay in the lodge or one of the smaller inns or other types of accommodations. It's easy to get around. It works. There's choices. So when you say to somebody, oh, there's 9 golf courses and the place is huge, it's not overwhelming.
No, and we get a lot of people, that's an unexpected thing that happens here. They talk about the shuttle service, which is you just expect to be able to get around, but you literally leave your car in the parking lot and you never touch it again because our shuttle takes you everywhere you need to go on property. Your bag magically ends up wherever you're supposed to be playing because our team does a great job of moving your bag from place to place, so you're not constantly, you know, taking it out of the trunk, driving to the place, putting it back in the trunk. So yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. And 5 golf courses do start from one clubhouse. So, you know, the ease of getting around. But now with everything going on at the main clubhouse, you could build a whole golf trip where that's the only place you go. So, yes, it's while it is large and sprawling, everything is only 5 to 7 minutes away. And it does, because of the restaurants and everything else, it feels like an easy trip to organize.
Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us this morning. I'm a big fan of Pinehurst. I look forward to getting back there this time next year. I will not miss that trip that TJ puts together in November. Looking forward to seeing number 4, getting back on all the golf courses. 9 championship golf courses and now a championship cradle short course, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that. So thanks for taking the time, and I look forward to meeting you in person maybe a year out from now.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Look forward to meeting you.
Tom Pashley, the president of Pinehurst, pinehurst.com. If you want to check it out, of course, Golfway Tours, if you want to book something to Pinehurst. And for our listeners in Southern Ontario and Quebec, really easy to get to. Yeah. Lots of flights. You could even drive if you chose to. And great golf course in the region as well, if you want to hit golf on the way in and the way out of Pinehurst. All right, that does it for an hour, Bob. I don't know where the hour went for our national audience. If you're listening online on the iHeartRadio app or on TSN.com or .ca, excuse me, you can catch the other 30 minutes if you're in a Hamilton on 1150 or 1050 in Toronto, other select markets. 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada coming up, including Winners, Weird, and What. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision to golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, all you lucky people listening in TSN 1050 Toronto, online at the iHeartRadio app, online with TSN, the bonus 30 minutes of Golf Talk Canada. Going to get to Winners, Weird, and What here shortly. Also, if you're listening in TSN 1150 in Hamilton, 3 weeks today, Bob and I will be at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessories Store in Burlington. So for our listeners in the West End of Toronto, Hamilton, Burlington, etc., come out and see us. We're going to be live on location at the WeatherTech Automotive Accessories Store. That's in Burlington on Walker's Line. They're having a big sale, big promotion. We'll be out there. We'll do some interactive stuff. You've got questions, golf-related questions. You're just angry. Something maybe I said that peeved you off this year.
Maybe they'll. Maybe I can get my... Matt's cleaned.
That's it. I have WeatherTech in my car. Mrs. Golf Talk Canada. She loves them.
Listen, this is not a paid thing. I paid for mine fully, and they are fabulous. The best thing I've ever put in.
Yeah, I agree. So come out and see us. That's 3 weeks today. More details to come next week right here on GTC. But now, Winners, Weird, and What, 3-dub, Bob has the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
look, it went further than your ball.
See, I don't step on that line anymore.
No, you're
good. Really
just professional.
After
we have to
years.
Change it so that you can now start stepping.
That's right. That's right. So my winner this week is Corey Connors. And it's a pretty easy one to pick because he's a nice guy and he's a good kid and he made the PGA Tour. But I'm giving him my winner's nod this week because he has made the cut in all five of the fall starts that he's been eligible for, which is all five that there are.
That's so awesome.
Safeway, Sanderson Farms, Shriners, OHL, and, of course, this week at the RSM. Now, he hasn't exactly lit it up. He's finished tied 30th, 65th, 68th, 75th. But to make the cut for him is big because it gets him a little bit of a leg up on the reshuffle,
which is happening after this
week.
And he's Bob, I know like what you're saying there in terms of, but these are golf courses, like you always say, they've never seen these golf courses before. Yeah. It's new to everyone, and he's making it to play four rounds every time. There's a huge win in that.
Oh, yeah, big time. And he is right now, heading into this week, he was up eight spots in the reshuffle. So if he has a good finish this week, he can keep his nose above. And it's very, very important for these guys to try and get up as far as they can on this reshuffle list so they can get some more starts coming up into the spring. My weird this week, you know, I love my weirds, and this weird this week is we're going to go over to the other side of the pond. And do they have like a closing club dinner at the Hunt at all?
Yes. Yeah. We actually have several.
Yeah. Okay.
The Hunt will, the guys at the Hunt will look for any reason to open the bar. So.
Well, the West Cornwall Golf Club had their closing dinner, and they decided they were going to, it was a little bit too big to have it at the club. So they rented the Cornish Hotel, a place over in Cornwall. The Tregenna Castle Hotel is one of the Cornish hotels over there. It's a pretty posh spot. Anyway, around 11:30 on the Friday night, as they were drinking and dancing and celebrating the year that was, a fight broke out. And one of the guests apparently objected to the overly exuberant dancing by a group of people at the event. And fists flew.
Oh, my.
The police were called. Apparently, this is all because someone thought the dancing wasn't safe. I'm not quite sure about how that works. Safety on the dance floor. And two people were arrested. One, a woman who was charged with biting a police officer.
Come on!
That's right.
Biting!
And the other person who was pulled out for no apparent reason, but he was punching some different people, and he was charged with assault. So the big bash at the Tregenna Castle Hotel for the West Cornwall Golf Club ended in a disaster.
Lovey, those gyrating hips are dangerous.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
My what this week is, what an interesting comment from the CEO of the Bridgestone Ball Company.
This is very interesting. And you teased me right out of the gates this morning with this as I was going on a rant about possibly dialing back a golf ball.
So, you know, to me, the biggest stumbling block in trying to get a standardized ball is the fact that you'd have restraint of trade against all these golf club companies because everyone wants to say they make the longest ball and they make the better ball. Well, the CEO, Angel Ilagan, of Bridgestone Golf, he has said that he thinks it's time to bring the ball back. He says guys are hitting the ball way too long. They are making a lot of golf clubs obsolete. He is obviously the first guy who's on that side of the business to come out and say this. And as you pointed out, now Tiger Woods has come out and said it. Is the bar swinging a little bit over to the side where we're going to now start having some serious talks about this? Right. I say over to you, R&A and USGA.
Yes, exactly. And I'm with you, Bob. And I will say this, is that I'm not so sure dialing it back is the right move. It might be. That's for people above my pay grade. But I do love the concept of like what they did with COR with drivers. All right, that's it. Here's the ceiling.
Right.
You freeze this thing, okay? And let's work with what we have right now and freeze this thing. And I will say this to all ball manufacturers and to marketing professionals and vice presidents of marketing who have been living off of the distance beast for so long now. We're the furthest. This is now an opportunity for golf ball companies to design balls to do other things other than just go far in the game.
Right.
Shaping the ball doesn't exist anymore. These guys play
straight shots.
Aim, hit high, right? What about now? What about a low ball? What about a high ball? What about a ball that's for shaping that spins more? What about a straighter golf? There's so much opportunity here from a marketing and philosophy standpoint The creative person's going to win in this one.
And I will just leave you with this comment. This is what his quote was. I think there is an option where we have a ball that is played on tour and a ball that is not played on tour, a ball that is played casually. So we focus on all golfers so that you've got the standardized ball for the tour, but then you have a ball that is made for each individual.
Which is what we said off the top of the show, which is, once again, if Bob and I were making all the decisions for everyone, the world would be a better place. All right, and with that, the tea is mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
The truth for me, Bob, is I'll just go to my personal experience last week at Mayakoba. Because Mayakoba was a difficult event for these guys. There was a lot of stops and starts and sort of weather delays, etc. We get to the final day, and they're pretty much, the leaders pretty much had to play almost 36 holes in the one day. And that's a bit of an intense environment to play competitive golf for all that in one day in the final group. Pat Kizzire and Ricky Fowler really made it a two-man race for almost the entire Sunday. So that's toe-to-toe, mano a mano for 7 hours of golf, 8 hours of golf, right? And my winner would be Pat and Kizzire because Ricky Fowler threw everything at him. You know, like it was, he played beautiful golf. And Kizzire, trying to close out his first PGA Tour victory, he never flinched. He made every putt he needed inside 15 feet. He put on a putting clinic. And his demeanor, when I spoke to him in the post-round interview, I said, you looked like Joe Montana running a two-minute drill. Were you that calm inside? And he actually said, he goes, you know, I don't know why. But I had a real calm confidence today, and I don't know why. And it's weird, Bob, because guys trying to get their first win, get it done for the first time, they get out of routine. They move a little faster. They show a couple of yippy strokes, make a decision that is a bit of a head-scratcher. Saw none of that.
He did hit that one shot out of bounds and then recovered and made a
yeah, we hit it, in the, it was red. He got that in the hazard, recovered. Yep.
Red, that's right.
Right. So, but like... nothing that would suggest that this guy's trying to get it done for the first time. It was weird to watch, but it was a winner weird to watch. It was something you don't normally see from a guy over almost an 8 hour period. He had a lot of time to gag, a lot of time to say, this is my first time doing this, and it never happened.
Good for him.
My weird this week, well, everybody remembers Happy Gilmore, right? The movie Happy Gilmore?
Yes. Filmed in Vancouver.
Was it filmed in Vancouver? I did not know that. Mm-hmm. So Chris McDonald, who was Shooter McGavin, he was arrested last week for a DUI.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now that's not a good thing. I'm not making light of that. I'm not making fun of that. Reason it's my weird is his reaction to the arresting officer. He basically, in so many words, and I'm paraphrasing it here, is you can't arrest me on DUI. I played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore. How many times? Do you go back to that well over the last 20 years, right? Yeah. Like, did you do that in divorce court? Did you do that? Like, where do you, like, and what I want to know is this. The article does not outline this, Bob, but you remember Shooter McGavin was famous for one thing, the shooting guns, right?
Right?
He gave everybody the shooting guns and the wink, you know? Did he give the shooting guns to the arresting officer?
Ooh, maybe the wink. Maybe the wink.
Hey, you can't arrest me. I'm Shooter McGavin. Come on. So Chris McDonald... unbelievable. Sorry that you got yourself in trouble with making a poor decision, getting behind the wheel of a car, being intoxicated, if that's the case. But give you the weird, the shooter. Now, Grayson Murray is a guy who is not a stranger to controversy. Mm-hmm. PGA Tour winner now, Grayson Murray. But left Twitter for a while. He was on Twitter for quite some time, always creating some controversy. In fact, he was, I don't know if you recall, about a year ago, inviting a Playmate model to caddy for him at one point.
Yeah.
And there was like, he's always chiming in. He left Twitter for those reasons and then returned to Twitter. Now, he returned to Twitter on November the 2nd. I believe today is the 17th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week, already he is in trouble. Off the top of the show, we talked a little bit about the controversy or discussion as to Player of the Year Bernard Langer on the Champions Tour not getting the Charles Schwab Cup. And there was people talking about, is this fair? Is the system work? How can Kevin Sutherland be the Charles Schwab Cup championship with one victory? Is his lone victory? Meanwhile, Langer dominated the tour, yada, 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 yada. Grayson Murray basically comes out with a series of tweets that basically suggests Does anyone care? He asked. In fact, one of them is this. Does anyone really care is the real question. Those guys were relevant 10 plus years ago. You'll never see Phil, Tiger, Furyk ever out on this tour, etc. So, of course, he had to defend himself. He went on the attack. What is Grayson Murray thinking? Why would you come out with that? And show, and also, Bob, show some respect. Without the generation before you and anything we do, we've all had mentors, we've all had people that have done this before us, etc., in every line of work that have kicked in doors, yep, opened up a pot of money for people to go out and make a living. What's he thinking?
I don't know. This guy is just something else. I remember at one point he decided to he gave his manager, he said, "You make the password for my Twitter so I can't get on it."
I love it. Love it. You know, before we go to break and bring in Scully for Scully Time and do leaderboard updates, I like to suggest that it reminds me of someone's, this is not my idea, but someone I know, I can't remember who it is. I'd love to give them kudos right now, but don't know, suggested that there should be a phone on your app, an app on your phone that is a drunken app and determines whether you're sober enough to be tweeting, emailing, yeah, texting, exactly, to basically lock down your phone when you've had too many drinks, right? That is something similar. It's like a security thing. No, you're dumb right now, so we're not going to let you have access to any communication. So, all right, on the other side, a little Scully Time and leaderboard updates as the LPGA Tour as well as the European Tour wrap up their season. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Zucchino, Weeks, going to be joined momentarily by Adam Scully for Scully Time. We'll do a little leaderboard update as well. Before we get to that, I want to give a shout-out. As you gentlemen know, I've been going through a home renovation at home.
Do we ever know?
Yeah. Well, it was been going on for a while, but I got to say, because I've heard some nightmare stories about experiences that people have had during a renovation, a rebuild, etc. This was new territory to Mrs. Golf Talk Canada and myself, so we were nervous, etc. And I want to give a shout out to our company, which is BVM Contracting. So BVMcontracting.com. I just want to give a shout out again, like you said about WeatherTech earlier in the show, unpaid, unsolicited, but you love the product.
Yeah.
Same here. I got to say, our experience was incredible. Open communication, on time, on budget. If something wasn't going the way we originally thought or something like that, there was, you know, there's always an explanation how we're going to get back on track. Like, actually run it like a real business, which I hear doesn't happen in the contracting world, that you're in the dark, you can't find anybody, you don't know what's going on, everything's late. So we were always nervous about the whole thing. We're so happy with the final product and so happy with the way the process went. I would never not recommend this company to anybody. So if you're in the GTA and you're thinking about it and you're looking for a contractor you can trust, unsolicited, just you're just speaking to a happy customer right now, bvmcontracting.com.
I think on behalf of all of us, too, we're happy that you're not sleeping in your car anymore.
Right. That's help. That's really huge.
That's big.
That's huge. So let's do a quick leaderboard update. Bob, starting with you with the European Tour.
The DP World Tour Championship final event on the race to Dubai and all that stuff. Justin Rose has a one-shot lead. He's at 15 under par, followed closely by two rookies, John Rahm and Dylan Fratelli. John Rahm was given the Rookie of the Year award over there. And not too far back, the other guys who have a chance to win this outright, the tour title, Tommy Fleetwood is at 13 under, just two back. Sergio Garcia is five back at 10 under par.
Yeah, it looks like a great leaderboard. I might catch that in the middle of the night. CME Group Tour Championship as the LPGA Tour wraps up their final season. And Sunghyung Park right now with the lead at 12 under par. That's a three-shotter over Carolyn Mason and Sarah Jane Smith at 9 under par. As we scroll down the leaderboard looking for Brookles, Brooke M. Henderson, which Mr. Weeks always loves, 4 under par as she is just started her third round. She parred the opening hole. She's 4 under par. Maybe a little too far back for Brookles to win the entire race to CME Globe, but still a great season for Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, Elena Sharp in there too, T66, well back. She's playing, well, they're all playing their final event of the year. The RSM Classic last calendar PGA Tour event here. Austin Cook, who's a rookie, he's at 14 under par. He has a one-shot lead over Brian Gay at 13 under par. Then we have to go back a little ways for CT Pan, Chris Kirk, and Vaughn Taylor at 9 under par. Ben Silverman, very much in a good position here to cash a big check. He's at 8 under par. And then, there's a shout-out to Dave Festchuk, friend of Golf Talk Canada and friend of our TSN, who has a wonderful story on Ben and how he took the different route to the PGA Tour. Also making the cut, David Hearn, T33 at 9-5. And the aforementioned Corey Connors, the greatest thing to come out of Listowel since Cyclone Taylor, is at 4 under par.
Now, speaking of the end of the PGA Tour schedule for the calendar year, it will then kick off the silly season. We'll see, you know, the father-son and the this and the that and the yada and the yada and the hoota the hoota. But the highlight of that silly season is always the Hero World Challenge, the Albany Club, one of the Tavistock properties in Bahamas. And Adam Scully joining us now, master producer himself. Skull, the reason that is the highlight is not only because it is top of the some of the best players, I think there's 18 or 19 of the top players in the world, mm-hmm. but it's the return of Mr. Woods. And this event will get way more attention than really what it deserves because of the return of Tiger. Ricky Fowler this week coming out saying mm-hmm. that not only is Tiger hitting it by him at the Medalist Club, he's hitting it way by him. Mm-hmm. You put any weight in this?
Well, I was going to say it's 17 of the top players and the 1,184th ranked player yeah. in the world, all in the field at the same time.
Right.
I mean, but from what Tiger said and from we've heard him on a couple of different podcasts that he can't believe how far he's hitting the ball. His back is finally healed. I mean, how much say we're going to have in that, who knows? I guess we'll see. I guess he tees off in 12 days. But it's nice to see him excited again. And as we've spoken about on various year in review shows, just imagine what kind of a story it would be. Even if he contended, if he finished 4 days, if he broke par in all 4 days, who knows? Because he's been at the golf course already. It'd be quite a story to end 2017.
My interest really isn't so much in the Hero World Challenge, what we're going to see there. It's what's next after that. Because I figure he'll get 4 rounds in. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be all that strenuous. It's kind of a hit and giggle. And obviously, we'll see if he can finish 4 rounds. But I think by what we've heard from down Florida, he'll be fine that way. It's where is he going to play his next tournament? How much is he going to play? And what's his schedule going to look like?
I agree with you. And can he play multiple weeks in a row? And can he, you know, avoid the cart ride from the parking lot off the golf? We don't want right. that, right? So those are things. I got to ask you this. Because this is interesting to me, and I'm way off outside the box on this because I don't believe this can happen. And I believe that maybe you two gentlemen might believe this can happen, certainly more than I do. But Tiger has always transcended the game of golf. He has not just been the world's best golfer or the world's number one golfer. At one time, he's the world's biggest athlete, period, in the story. And to say a golfer was that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
If Tiger, next year will be 10-year anniversary of Tiger's last major championship. Which is Think crazy. About that, a decade. If Tiger Woods can come back and win a major championship, Augusta, U.S. Open, nearly 10 years to the anniversary, with everything that has transpired. Where in the realm of sports does that land in terms of an all-time comeback? Is it the greatest comeback that we've ever seen in professional sports? It's got to be in the conversation.
Oh, for sure.
It would definitely be in the conversation. I think you can compare maybe when Tom Watson almost won the Open Championship, like that sort of, like if he had won that
Open
Championship.
Almost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And
it was a lovely story, very romantic, took us to the very end.
In terms of comeback, it would probably be, I mean, the biggest ever.
It's got to be.
I don't know if you call it a comeback, but certainly Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters
46.
At 46.
Yeah.
Right. But he never went away. And Nicklaus, did he not win the U.S. Open or PGA in 82 at Baltusrol?
He may have, but it's sort of, you know, at 46, can a guy compete? That. It's not quite a comeback story. It's a old age story, maybe.
Right.
But it's still pretty remarkable. Let's not forget that Tiger's going to turn 42 in a couple of weeks. So.
Right, and I'm not saying this can happen. I'm just saying I'm looking at the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And to me, if it's like Gretzky almost coming back 10 years after he retired and winning a Stanley Cup.
Could be like Mario Lemieux.
Yeah,
Mario Lemieux coming back is a huge one, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's sit on that. We're going to be live right through to December 16th.
Yeah.
So we're going to be live right through to December 16th. We're going to be live on location at the WeatherTech Accessory Store in Burlington 3 weeks today. The week after that, it is our Festivus special, which everybody, we're going to air the grievances. Feats of Strength is going to be huge. Live studio audience, as always.
Always. Yeah.
So let us sit on this, though, till next week. So next week, let's pick this up and see if we can come up with a comparable in our minds of what that would relate to in the sporting world if Tiger came back and won the Masters, U.S. Open, etc. in 2018. Deal?
I like it.
Sounds good.
All right, boys. Thanks so much. Always a blast. Glad to be back with you, gentlemen. Glad to do the next 4 weeks as we lead into the holiday season here on GTC. That wraps up today. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.